Okay, Pashas Kisisov. V'nosnu ish kaifer nafshli. Erek Lamed Pasuk Yudbeis. Each person should give machzis hashekel kaifer l'nafshli. Okay. The Balaturim, we all know. Balaturim says the word v'nosnu is backwards and forwards spelled the same. Vav nun sof nun vav. V'nosnu reads v'nosnu frontwards, v'nosnu backwards. A rem is the one who gives it stokah doesn't end up losing out, but fakert, it comes back to him, the nosnu. The pasuk says in pasuk yud gimel ze yitnu kolay v'rapkudim machzas hashakel b'shekel hakodesh. Rashi brings down keraloy k'min matzbeya shalish. Hashem showed Moshe a coin of fire. V'oymeloy, and he said to Moshe k'ze yitnu, like this, b'nei Yisrael should give from machzas hashakel. Everybody, Darshans, likes to explain what's the matbeya shalish. What's the significance of the coin of fire? Why was it dafka matbeya shalish? So in the Sefer Imre Chachamim, he brings down a nice idea. And he says fire is different than most other things. Everything else, when you take something away from it, it's missing. You can notice something was taken away. Fire, though, when you take away from it, nothing happens to it. The original fire remains the same. The Gemara tells us, ner le'echad, ner le'meyah. A candle for one is a candle for 100. 100 people could take from one ner, and the ner is still burning. So fire, no matter how much you take away from it, it still remains burning, it's still the same. Another rem is that when one gives tzedakah, it's like matbeya shalesh, it's like fire. It looks like he's taking away by giving tzedakah. It looks like he's taking away from his coins. But just the opposite. It's like matbeya shalesh, a fire. And by fire, when you give, it's... doesn't go away, remains. Giving stalkers commit matbeya shalish. The Noam Elimelech says, and Nachman Ressel have both say the same idea, this we mentioned in the past, that fire could be used for good, and fire could be used for bad. Fire you could use to heat, to warm up, to give light. Fire has many good qualities. On the other hand, if fire is left unguarded, unwatched, by itself, hefker, fire destroys. An unguarded fire, a fire that's allowed to burn without being watched, destroys, burns. Fire can be used for good or for bad. It depends on the person who's holding the fire. A matbeya, money, is the same idea. Money can be used with toiv or lara. A person can use money for a good way. Use money for mitzvahs, for Torah, for chesed, to help others, for tzedakah. On the other hand, a person can use money and destroy himself. First type is Averis, he used money to hurt others. Money could be used both ways. Hashem showed Moshe a matbeya shalesh, a coin of fire. When a person gets stuck on, that's like a matbeya shalesh. Be careful with the money that you have and use it the right way. Just like fire could be used with taif or ra, money also, make sure to use it with taif. The Chassam Sofer is on another idea, and he says the eish represents the salavos, the feeling that a person has to have when he does the mitzvah. When a person gives tzedakah, instead of just dumping it on the ani, here, take it and leave, forget it, give it with a smile, give it with a little feeling to it, and make the ani feel better as you give the money. Like the Gemara says in Bava Basra on the Aftes, calling leisem pruta la'ani misbarach b'sheish brachas. Whoever gives a pruta to an ani is benched with 6 brachas. V'amafaisai, the one who appeases the ani, makes him feel good, he speaks to the ani, cheers the ani up, misbarach b'yiralach brachas. He's benched with 11 brachas. So, when one gives tzedakah, it shouldn't be cold. Here, it should be with a warm kite, with a fire, and make the ani feel good, cheer the ani up. One who fires the ani is zeichet to many more brachas than one who just gives the money as is. Ha'asher lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit. Pasuk says vav. The asher shouldn't give more than machzis hashekel, and the dal, the poor person, shouldn't give less. V'adr poshep shat, is everybody gives the exact same amount, machzis hashekel. The ben ashchai says an interesting meaning in these words, ha'asher lo yarbe. When it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the asher shouldn't say yarbe, I already did a lot. The asher tends to sit back and say, I gave already, I did already, ha'asher lo yarbe. The asher shouldn't rely on the yarbe, shouldn't say I did more than I have to do. But the asher should keep on giving. On the other hand, v'hadal lo yamit. The Dao shouldn't say, what's it worth what I do? It's not worth anything anyway. I can't give much stalker. I can't wear much. I don't have much time. The Hadal loyamit. The Dao should not be mamayit and push away whatever he did. Because whatever the poor person could do, it's just as choshuv as the Oshir. Echra marbe, echra mamit. whether one does a lot, one does a little, the ikar is that its kavano is l'ashamayim. On a chassidish shayif in the Koshin Samagid, it says over a nice little twist on the words, ha'osher lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamit. He says, ha'osher lo yarbe. The osher should be marbe, should increase his loy. The osher tends to feel gaiva, tends to feel how great he is, everything he did. He should be marbe his loy, his feeling of nothingness, his feeling of his battles. The osher should be marbe, his feeling of not being about gaiva. Lo yarbe, what should he be marbe? The loy. The feeling that it's not all his, it comes from Hashem, it's not Kaychi Vaitzim Yadi. He should be marbe the feeling of loy, of his nothingness, his battles to Hashem. On the other hand, v'hadal loyamit. The Dao should be mayat his feeling of loy. The Ani many times feels depressed, feels sad, he can't accomplish much, he can't do much, he doesn't feel good. The Hadal loyamit. The Dao should be mayat the feeling of loy that he has, the feeling of nothingness, of yush that he has. The Dao should be mayat in fakert. The Dao should do whatever he can. Because again, Echra Marbe, Echra Mamit, the Ike is, his Kavono should be L'shem Shemayim.
So his loy should be yamit? Is that what you're
saying? Right. He should be mayat his feeling of loy. He feels like nothing. He's yush, he feels. He gives up. Fakir, remind that feeling. He should, whatever he could do is worth a lot. And the osher is just the opposite. The osher is the balgaiva. So the osher loyar be, he should be marbe, his feeling of loy. He should be making himself into a, so to speak, an honor of a not a balgaiva.
So the osher is a good guy. So should he also do this? Because I don't get depressed.
Okay. Everybody. Okay. Within reason. Es shapsoisai tishmayu. The Pasuk says, watch my Shabbos. What's the lashon shapsoisai, my Shabbos? So Rabbi Shaul Mimojit says over a very nice idea. We know on Shabbos, there are two minyanim. On Shabbos, one's supposed to be marbe b'achila b'shisiyah, in eating and drinking. Like it says, v'karasa lo Shabbos oynig. You're marbe in eating, drinking, person changes his clothing on covered Shabbos, v'karasa lo Shabbos oynig. On the other hand, Shabbos is a day of rest. It's a time for a person to learn, person to daven, person can spend more time in shul, more time in the base of medrash. On Shabbos, there are two aspects to Shabbos. There's the oynig of Shabbos, and then there's the rest on Shabbos that a person should use for limud Torah and tefillah. We know Chazal tell us, "Asay Shabbat chachol, latetzarech lebriyos." If one can't afford to spend a lot of money to buy delicacies, fancy foods for Shabbos, better make your Shabbos a chachol weekday, and don't come on to taking stocker, don't come on to people. Says Reb Shomim Moshitz, "Asay Shabbat chachol." Which part of Shabbos should you make chachol? Shabbat chol, your part of Shabbos. The part of Shabbos that's your oinik, your food, your drink, your delicacies for Shabbos. Asay Shabbat Chachayil, if you can't afford, that's the part of Shabbos you treat like a weekday. And don't come on to Stockholm. But as Shabsoisai Tishmoiru. But the part of Shabbos is Hashem that belongs to me, my Shabbos. The part of Shabbos that's there for the Ruchni is. The part of Shabbos is there, a person has time, the learning, the Tefillah, the Talmud Torah, as Shabsoisai. My Shabbos, Tishmoiru, watch. My Shabbos, don't give up. Your Shabbos, your aspect of Shabbos, the Einig, if you can't, you're allowed to make it Chayil. But that's Shabbos side. But my part of Shabbos, Tishmai. I saw from Shom Mimoshis. Vishomru v'nei Yisrael as our Shabbos. Lasois as our Shabbos. Darachayim HaKadosh es Tukashis. What does the Pasuk mean, Vishomru? It just said, Tup Sukkim earlier, Ushmartem es our Shabbos. Sarach l'das, l'ma hoisif oi de shmira acheres. Why does the pasuk in on another shmira? V'shamru v'nei Yisrael. It just said, two pasukim earlier, u'shmartem es ha-shabbos. What's the second shmira? Second of all, la'asois es ha-shabbos, to make Shabbos. How do you make Shabbos? Does a yid make Shabbos? Shabbos is not up to us. Shabbos is kaviyah v'kaimah. Shabbos is set already. In Shemayim, every seventh day is Shabbos. Yom Tiv, Bezdin makes. We convey when Yom Tov is. We set Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we set which day is Yom Tov. But what does it mean, last day is a Shabbos? How do you make a Shabbos? We don't make Shabbos. Shabbos is there. Every seventh day is Shabbos. It's not, we don't have to make Shabbos. Tor HaChayush has many, many different pshatim. One nice pshat that he says is the Roshan V'Shomru is from the Roshan V'Shomar Es Hadovo, or the V'Shomar Es Hadovo. It says by Yaakov and Yosef, by Yosef's dream, it says Yaakov said Yaakov waited. He was mitzapo mamtin. He waited and he hoped. When would Yosef's dreams come true? It says the Arachaim Hakadosh v'shomru v'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos. It means that we should wait for Shabbos. We should anticipate Shabbos. The whole week we should wait and have Shabbos in mind. Like, when a person finds something nice during the week, put it away, we'll call it Shabbos. The Shomru, Hashem, anticipating, of watching, of waiting, hoping, waiting for Shabbos to come. The Chavetz Chaim says over, how foolish, Chavetz Chaim says that how foolish people are. Find people that they, when it comes to be Mekabel Shabbos, they wait to the last minute to be Mekabel Shabbos. And when it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos, they're the first ones to end Shabbos. They can't wait to end Shabbos. He says how foolish people are. The 6 days a week, there's a klal of Zeyas Apecha Teich Alechem. Eat bread by the sweat of your brow, by your hard work. Shabbos is a bracha. The whole week's bracha comes from the Kedusha of Shabbos. How foolish people are that they keep the klal until the last minute. And when they finally have the bracha of Shabbos, they end it so early, they're running back into the Sheishas Yomim, Zeyas Apecha Teich Alechem. The person would think the opposite is true. A person should try to end the klal as early as possible. Be Mekabel Shabbos, take on the bracha early, and when it comes to end Shabbos, extend Shabbos as much as he can in order to extend the bracha, in order to extend the bracha of Shabbos. In Perik on the base, Pasuk K, we have the Maisa Hegel. Vayar Aroin, Vayive Mizbeach Lefonov, Vayikra Aaron, Vayoyma Chag Lashem Mocha. Aaron, what goes ahead, he builds the Mizbeach, and Aaron calls out, Chag Lashem tomorrow. Okay. We said this over. Ben Eshchais is over a very nice moshul to explain what happened by Aaron. And we find that Aaron was zeichel later on to bring korbanos in the Mishkan. Even though Aaron l'chayr built the Mizbeach for the Egel, we find later on that Aaron built, and Aaron was zeichel to bring korbanos in the Mishkan. So the Ben Ishchad was once a prince, the king's son, and he was traveling through the forest, he was by himself traveling through the forest. And a band of robbers saw the king's son approaching, and they planned out their attack. And one of the robbers knew that if he allows the whole gang to attack the king's son, they'll take his money and they're going to kill him. And this robber had rachmanis on the king's son. He didn't want to kill him. So he told the other robbers, listen, go back to the cave, go back to the hideout, wait for me, I'll take care of him myself, and I'll bring you all of his money and his wealth. And this way, you don't have to sit and wait around and risk all of us getting caught. You go and I'll take care, I'll do all the work for you. And the robbers agree, they all go back to the hideout, and the king's son comes, and this robber attacks him, takes away all his money, his wealth, his diamonds, his jewels, and he lets the king's son live and escape. When the king's son comes back home to the palace, and he tells his father, the king, what happened, the king rounds up the army, the soldiers, and they go into the forest to find the robbers that attacked his son, and they catch the whole band, the whole gang of robbers, including the one that attacked the king's son. The good one, so to speak. And the king sentenced them all to 80 lashes. All of them should be whipped 80 times. And they're whipping one after another. And finally it comes the turn of the robber who actually was the one that stole from the king's son. And as they're hitting him, he screams out, my heart hurts. And no one understands, my heart. He's being hit on his back. Why is he screaming, my heart? My back? My heart? Finally, the king is so perplexed. Why is this robber screaming at my heart? He says, stop. And he asks him, why are you screaming my heart? If you're being hit on your back, why don't you scream, my back hurts? Why my heart? So he says to the king, it's only because of my heart that I'm being hit. Because my heart had rachmanis on your son. My heart had mercy on the prince when he was in the forest. And I didn't let the other robbers attack him. And I did it by myself. Because of that, I was caught. The king's son came back home. And because of that, we were caught. And that's why I'm being punished. If my heart wouldn't have had mercy on your son, he wouldn't have caught us, and I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be punished. So it's my heart that hurts, my heart that had mercy on your son. The king heard that, he investigated the whole story, found out what really happened, and not only did he punish this robber, but he ended up giving him a reward. Says the Ben Ishchai, that's mamish what happened by Aaron the Kohen. Aaron saw that if he let the Erev Rav build the ego, they will build the ego 1, 2, 3, it would happen very fast, and they would already be bringing karbanos and start serving the ego. So what did Aaron do? Aaron said, I'll take care of it. Leave it up to me. I'll go ahead and I'll build the Mizbeach. I'll bring the bricks. I'll bring all the materials. I'll build the Mizbeach. And Aaron's kavana was, in order to stall for time and to wait till Moshe Rabbeinu came back. And his kavana was that Moshe should come back before he actually went ahead and served the ego. So Aaron's kavana was again l'taiva that he didn't want them to do because they would do a thorough job. He wanted to do it himself in order to stall for time and wait till Moshe Rabbeinu comes out. Since his kavana was l'toiva, his kavana was for good. In order to prevent them from serving the ego, therefore not only wasn't he punished like everybody else, but he was zeicher to reward, he was zeicher to be the one to bring the kavanos in the mishkan. Vayamay Moshe v'shar ha-machane, vayayimeh mil Hashem Eloi, vayayosvoy rov kol b'nei Levi. Pasuk ha-mebeis, pasuk chav aleph, Moshe stood by the gate of the machane and he called out, mil Hashem Eloi, who's for Hashem come to me? And all the b'nei Levi gathered together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Famous Meisa, Shimon Schwab says over that he was a bacher, he went to see the Chavetz Chaim. When he came to the Chavetz Chaim asked him, are you a Kohen or are you Yisrael? You're a Kohen, Levi, you're Yisrael. So Shimon Schwab said, I'm a Yisrael. Chavetz Chaim said, I'm a Kohen. And Chavetz Chaim said, what's the difference that I'm a Kohen and you're Yisrael? What's the difference? So Chavetz Chaim told him that soon the Karev, the Beis Mishra will be rebuilt, Mashiach is going to come, and all of us will go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're all going to want to enter into the Azara and go as close as possible, bring Karbanos and do the Avodah. When we come to the gates, it's the Chavetz Chaim, the Kahanim, they're going to allow in to the Azara, and the Yisraelim, they're going to stop. You're going to have to stay outside, and I'm allowed to go inside. And why is it like that? Why is the Kahanim allowed inside, and why did the Yisraelim stay outside? He said because almost 3,000 years ago, my Zayda, when Moshe Rabbeinu announced and he called out, Mil Hashem Eloi, my Zaydas came running. The Zaydas of the Kahanim de Levim, they came running to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore there was Zaycha, they're allowed to come close to Hashem, to go into the Beis Mikdash and do the Avodah. But the Yisraelim, nobody answered the call of Mil Hashem Eloi. Since they didn't answer the call of Mil Hashem Eloi, they're not allowed into the Azara, they have to remain outside. Says the Chavetz Chaim. And if you're wondering why I'm telling you this, he says to Reb Shmuel Shlomo Zabach, why am I telling you this for? He told him, because every person in his life, there are those moments where he has that koil, he hears that voice of Mil Hashem Eloi. Everybody has those moments in his life, those opportunity where the calling comes, Mil Hashem Eloi, it's his turn to do something Hashem. When the opportunity comes to the Chavetz Chaim, be ready, be aware, and grab the opportunity. And don't push it off, don't make the same mistake that Yezaydis made years ago when Moshe called out Mil Hashem Eloi. But when a person hears that voice, when it's his calling, Mil Hashem Eloi, a person should seize the opportunity. Tonight's Purim Katan, Yudalad Ador Rishoin. The Mishnah says in Masechta Megillah, Ein Bein Ador Rishon Ador Sheni. The only difference between Ador Rishon and Ador Sheni is Ela Kriyas HaMegillah, Matanas Lev Yoinim. It's Kriyas HaMegillah, Matanas Lev Yoinim, which we do in Ador Sheni, and not in Ador Rishon. I think we said this over. I heard this from Rav Ramshur years ago. From the Chiddush Erim. Probably is a famous Maisa. The Chiddush Erim said that Purim Katan is a tremendous kayach. The tremendous kayach, the Purim Katan. And he explained it with a story. It was a Maisa with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. There was once a Gezeira, and they came to the Baal Shem Tov asking him to be Mespalel, to be Mevato this Gezeira against B'nai Yisrael. Whatever the particular Gezeira was. Baal Shem Tov Davin was a spalo, and he told him, Shari Shemayim Ninalu. The gates of Shemayim are locked. My tefillahs can't break in. I can't be mispalo to be mevatel this gezeiro. So they said, but what can we do? We can't live with this terrible gezeiro. So Baal Shem Tov told them, travel to this nearby town, to this town. And when you come there, ask for Reb Moshe. Okay? And when you find Reb Moshe, bring him to me. Bring him to me. They traveled to this nearby town. And again, like every authentic story, there's different versions of what exactly happened. One of the many versions. They come to the town, and they ask for this Reb Moshe. And whoever they ask, nobody here by that name. No Reb Moshe, nobody here. But the Baal Shem Tov sent us, there has to be Reb Moshe. Nobody here in this town by that name. They said, okay, is there a Moshe? Forget the Reb, maybe there's a Moshe. No, nobody here. Baal Shem Tov needs him. Finally, one person says, oh, there's Moshe the Shikah. The Shikah lying in the street, he's drunk, he's drunk 24 hours a day. That's the only Moshe here. Moshe the Shikah. Couldn't be the Baal Shem Tov meant it's Moshe the Shikah. The kids, they ask around, there's no other Moshe. They find this Moshe the Shikah. They wait till he's sober. The takeaway is a bottle of schnapps, his wine. They wait till he's sober. When he's sober, the Satan, Baal Shem Tov wants to see him. Me, Baal Shem Tov, what? Who? Give me a bottle of wine. They promise him more schnapps. They promise him whatever he wants. Just come with us to Baal Shem Tov. Comes to Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem says, I want a bracha from you. Give me a bracha. Give us a bracha. The gezeirah should be bottle. Me, what? Bracha? Bottle? Say, give us a bracha. The gezeirah should be bottle. So the shikha gives a bracha. The gezeirah should be bottle. And kachava. Within a few days, the gezeirah is bottle. The bracha works. They give him his wine, send him back, and he goes back to the Moshe Neshika. Everyone who saw the Maisa has no idea what happened. Who is he? What's it all about? So he asked Baal Shem Tov, Mahai, what happened? He says, Baal Shem Tov, I'll tell you the story. This Moshe Neshika was a big Amoritz, a boor, didn't know too much. One day, he heard in the big city, you could do all types of avarice, whatever type you want in a big city, everything's available. He gathered together all his money, and he started to travel towards the city to fulfill his types. As he's traveling on the way to the city, different versions of the story, he heard screaming, crying, yelling. And at first he ignored it, because he's on the way, the Yetzer Hara had him in his trap. But finally the screaming made such an impression on him, he couldn't continue on, he stopped. And he did a little investigation, and he asked around, who's screaming, who's yelling? Either was a young girl who had been captured by the pirates, by the Goyim, and he didn't want to release her, or it was a few people, the whole town, all the pirates' money, and he took the elders of the town and put them into the dungeon. Either way, the pirates had a captive he didn't want to release. And the screams he heard was the screaming of these people that were captured, imprisoned by the pirates.
He needed help.
He went ahead, and he felt so bad from the screaming. It bothered him very much. He went to the pirates, and he says to the pirates, I have on me X amount of money. Will this cover the debt? Will this release the prisoners? And the pirates agreed, and he gave away his last penny in order to free either the girl or the prisoners, and he was becoming Mr. Pidin Shvuyim, and he freed them. It says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. When that happened, there was a big tumult in Shemayim. This person, this Am Haaretz, was on the way to do his terrible Averis, and he stopped, Mekayim Mr. Pidin Shvuyim. What scha, what reward could we give him? And on the spot, there was a sa'ad, they'll give him the kayach of a bracha. That whatever he says, whatever bracha he says, will be mekuyim. Whatever bracha he benches other people, will be mekuyim. As soon as that happened, the sultan comes running, and the sultan says, how could you do that? How could you give somebody such a kayach? He's going to use it the wrong way. He'll wish for tchiyas ha-mason tomorrow, what's going to happen? He'll wish for Mashiach tomorrow, what's going to happen? He'll give people brachas that they don't deserve. He'll give people brachas that will ruin their lives. They're not good for them. How can you trust this person with the kayach of brachas? But they said, we already gave him the kayach. What should we do? So they had a whole tumult. They paskind. They can't take away the kayach, but he'll be a shikr. And this way he'll be a shikr. He won't know he has the kayach. And people won't come to ask him for brachas. But he has that kayach. He has that kayach to give brachas. But, says the Baal Shem, the tzaddikim in the generation know that he has his kayach. And therefore, whenever we need a bracha of a stock, the shikr is the one that we call. He has the kayach of giving brachas, and that's why we called him to give us the brachas. Says the Chiddush Erim, that's Purim and Purim Kol. Purim, it says, call up Hashit Yad Nois Namoy. Purim, whoever stretches out his hand, we give him. Pashit, it means Rabbit Stokka. We don't investigate, check, if he need the money, not need the money. Purim, whoever stretches out his hand, we give him. But we know there's a deeper meaning to call up Hashit Yad Nois Namoy. Whatever person asks for, whatever tefillah, a person's misfalo, a person stretches out his hand, Hashem gives him. It's a day, Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Purim is in a way, how am I dragging Yom Kippur? Call up Hashit Yad, whoever stretches out his hand, nice to what we give him, in Hashemayim, people's tefillahs are accepted on Purim. But Chazal were afraid that people had this kayach tefillah on the Purim, people will use the kayach tefillah the wrong way. So what did Chazal do? Adu wa yada. They said it's a mitzvah to be drunk on Purim. Drink. Adu wa yada. It's a mitzvah to be shikar on Purim. Drink. And this way a person will be so torahed with the mitzvah hayoyim, with drinking and running, and he won't be able to use the kayach tefillah for things that are inappropriate. He won't be able to use it. He has a kayach tefillah on Purim, but it's a mitzvah to get drunk, and he won't even no one used the kayach tefillah. However, says the Chiddush Erim, what does the Mishnah say in Megillah? Ein bein ada rishon la'ada sheini, ela mikra Megillah matanis lav yoinim. But the kayach of kol ha'poshet yad noisnim loy, that exists even on Purim Katan. And on Purim Katan, there's no mitzvah to drink. On Purim Katan, there's no ada wa yada. But on Purim Katan, the kayach tefillah is the same kayach tefillah that a person has on Purim, whatever a person asks for is bakoshes could be fulfilled, and there's no mitzvah to drink. Today, where a person could be mispalel and have his bakoshes fulfilled, and there's no adol yada on Purim Katan. It has a tremendous, kayach, Purim Katan, a kayach hatfila. So tonight's Purim Katan, tomorrow's Purim Katan.
No,
so take advantage, take advantage of the day, be mispalel extra. And ask the Yeshuas, Fufuas, Nechomas, Gosh Baruch Hu, should fulfill all Bakoshas, Hotayva. Everybody has their needs, their Bakoshas that they need to be fulfilled, whether it's Ruchnias, Kashmias, Gosh Baruch Hu, should fulfill all Bakoshas, Hotayva. And together we should be Zaycha to see Sheikh Zakayim here remain.
Amen. Amen. Amen.